Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. One of the things we need to just wrap our minds around is we have the greatest evangelist that's ever lived coming to the end of his life. He has had, from our perspective, this absolutely stunning ministry. We know historically, the work that was started by Christ was message that was spread by the Apostle Paul and others, but primarily by Paul, ends up changing the world. It literally changes the world. But I venture to say that if you would have been Paul in this dungeon, chained up, and recognizing you're going to face execution in just a matter of days, totally outside of your control, you would have felt anything other than a victor. You would have felt so discouraged. It was incredible. All of his people had left him. Only one guy had searched him out. And there he was. He starts off the passage, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. By the way, noting he's writing a personal letter to Timothy. And he says, now, Timothy, we are really close bed. We're good. We're like father-son here. I'm the apostle. So pay attention to my words. That's basically how you start this. This is a personal letter with this phenomenal authority put at the start of it. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why? By the will of God. I didn't come up with this idea. I didn't say, God, choose me, choose me. God put his hand on him. According to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, a beloved son. That is a tremendously intimate way of saying that. Beloved son. He was precious to him. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God. Notice, he's chained in a dungeon, freezing no doubt, tremendously uncomfortable, fearing the reality of a pretty painful death, whom I serve. You see this word right here? That word in the Greek is only found 20 times in the New Testament. You ought to note that. It's in some of the translations, it's translated minister, like it is, again, a word is also translated minister, but it's a different word later on in this passage. This one is unique. All 20 times the word is found, it talks about worshiping and serving God. No other thing. So he was saying, I serve with a pure conscience. By using the word serve that he used, the specific Greek word, he was saying, I serve God. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my allegiance. That is my driving force. I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. Now think about that a second. He, by their standards, is of this radical sect that is separated from Judaism, and he is saying to Timothy, now listen, I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers. We are in the lineage, in the teaching of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Isaiah, and on they go. You see the point? He was saying, we are not outside the mainstream here. We are the mainstream. Isn't that a powerful truth? And he was tying into the Old Testament Judaism. It's without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Remember I mentioned that before? Those are all very personal statements. That I may be filled with joy. Just seeing Timothy would have lifted his heart. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, one of the things that's such a thrill to him is the confidence that this young man, who has become like a son to him, was walking in a like faith, right online, and he was comfortable. That says, you're going the same direction I've been going, and I'm absolutely confident you're going to continue to go that direction. And then he talked about his mom and his grandmother, who had obviously been godly ladies. Therefore, I remind you now the practice. We're talking about there, the pondering. He was saying all of these good things in the past. He was talking about fellowship, by the way. The sweet fellowship that he had with Timothy. And that was an encouragement to him. And it should have been an encouragement to Timothy, and I suspect it and no doubt would have been. You know, just to think back, I got to know Dr. Pickering, and Dr. McLaughlin is a member here. Dr. Clearwaters, I got to know him some, and it is precious to me to look back and think about what I learned from these men. There, other than Dr. McLaughlin, the other two have passed from the scenes. But think about how Timothy would have felt about the Apostle Paul. Now it says, I thank God that I serve a pure conscience, my forefathers pray day and night, and then therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Think about that a second. Stir up. Hey, you know what? Every one of us ought to ask, do we need to stir up the gifts that God had given us? The gift of our salvation, the gifts of ministry that He's allowed us to have. Do we need today to revisit the zeal we once had? You understand what I'm saying? It is easy to, you know, it is noticeable when you have new believers in the congregation. Because they have an excitement and an earnest hunger to learn the word and the likes. Not always found in older saints. And that's what he was saying. Paul was saying to Timothy, don't let it die. Stir it up. Through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The power is that word for dynamite that we get the word dynamite from. You know, that, by the way, that's a reminder. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's where we get our power for victory. The number two part of it is love. Love is to demonstrate that we are Christians. Does it in our lives? Do we need to get it stirred up again? Instead of being frightful about all of the changes in our health care that are heading into our nation and the fact that our political system seems to not be able to function, the fact that one country specifically that said they'd like to blow us off the map is really close to getting nuclear weapons and is testing intercontinental ballistic missiles. You know, those are, if you think about them, most people just don't even think about it. They don't even want to know. You know, but there's pretty frightening stuff. But he says, no, don't get caught up in that. Think about the power that you have in God. Think about the love that you have an opportunity to experience and to share. And the sound mind is about wise judgment. Your understanding of Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. Being able to look at life and look at situations from God's perspective. Therefore, do not be ashamed. This word comes up three times in this little passage, this pericope. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share. I underlined this word because it's an imperative. There's three in the passage in first chapter of 2 Timothy. This is one of them. What does he say? Share with, now this is his command. That's what you're getting here. This is his command to Timothy. Wouldn't you love to have this? Here, this guy's writing you a letter who's chained in a dungeon and is about ready to be executed. And his letter to you is, oh, by the way, I'm commanding you to share in my suffering. You know, I don't know about you, but you'd sit there and say, well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Paul. I sure hope you're not praying that way. You know, you might have connections with God that's going to make that happen. I don't know if I like that. I mean, you understand the point? If you really think about what is being said, Timothy in his timidity and his seemingly kind of cowardly type of approach to life might not have liked to hear those words. It would have been frightening to him. It says, suffering for me for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us to his great calling, not according to works, but according to his own purposes. Grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul was saying, now listen, if you really believe what I'm saying, Timothy, and you believe it, you've accepted it also, this life is not the main event. We know by what the scripture, what the gospel message is, that we have a life that is far fuller, and we're just passing through here. That's what he's saying to the young man. He said, just keep coming, keep your courage, Keep working on the cause. It may look bleak. May look like I'm not finishing strong. But I'm not finishing here. That's the message. He has a life that goes beyond. To which I was appointed preacher, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Here's the point. Think about this in our own context. How comfortable are you praying in the name of Jesus in a restaurant? Yeah, I am. I can say that with confidence that I am. And I have no problem praying with my family out loud. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people appear to be. A lot of people are really frightful about saying anything about Jesus or anything about loving the Lord or having God bless them in a public setting. Well, we have good reason to be, because our culture is turning very, very antagonistic. But it can turn as antagonistic as it wants. We are still supposed to proclaim the name of God, name of Christ, name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison. Isn't that an interesting thing for Paul to have to say to Timothy? Don't be ashamed of me. This is not a bad end. This doesn't mean I'm a bad individual. This is just God's plan. Here's the things that to practice. In verse 6, he said, stir up your gifts. I didn't have it on your outline, but you might want to write these down. They're very clearly in there. Stir up your gifts. Number 2, be fearless and strong and loving. Sound mind, that concept in 7. Be unashamed of Jesus and other brothers. We ought to be proud that we know Jesus Christ. We ought to be bold, and we ought to be public. Be ready to suffer for Jesus. He told Timothy that, and I say to all of us, if we're going to stand up, especially in our day that is changing, but you recognize around the world, to stand up for Jesus does mean that you can lose your life today. Many of the countries around the world, it's not acceptable. Where Islam has taken over, those are words of death for you in many situations. Guard the great body of scriptural truth. And you and I have that responsibility. It starts with you knowing it. It starts with us studying it and learning it and keeping it close to us. And then he says, protect, hold fast. You notice that's underlined also? The first one I pointed out earlier, now this is the second command. You know, he was to share with the God, with the suffering. Now he says, hold fast, command, the pattern of sound words. Don't deviate from what it teaches. And he goes on a little bit later, it's the next one, but that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So those are the three commands. Share in the sufferings, hold the pattern of sound words, and keep the message pure. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are these two guys that had abandoned him. But he said, but the Lord in great mercy to the household, this man came to him and ministered to him. Went into Rome, and without having a place where you can go to the internet and say, what prison is he in? This man searched for him and found him. Has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. And the Lord grant him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. So he commends this other man for his heart to minister to Paul. Paul said that was really good. And I am praying that God will bless him for it. Three things to hold on to. We need to be very careful about pondering what he has given to you. Could you list an items? Could you stand up and give praise to him for what he has done for you? For your salvation? For your marriage? For your life? For your health? practice those things that I listed before, those five areas? Are you part of that? Are you stirring up your gifts, or are you kind of in neutral or idling? And then protect the Word of God. Know the message well enough and fight zealously for truth, rightly dividing the Word of truth. This goes on to say some of the stony ground and receive it with gladness. They aren't all excited about it. We see that in our midst. We get people that come through here and they make a decision for Christ and they make some other decision in their life and they're all excited about what's going on and they're just going forward. Little hard times come and they immediately stumble. Never, you know, that, well, I gave Jesus a try. I tell you, you know, it's heartbreaking for those of us that know the Lord and are working in this midst of trying to be encouraging them and encouraging us in the process when we see that. Does it not just take the wind out of your sail? This goes on to say some are planted by in the thorns. The seed is sown in the thorns. And then the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things enter and choke out the word. Well, we see that too, don't we? But some is sown, some of the seed is put in good ground, and then it bears much fruit. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in this group. I really do. I want to bear much fruit. I want to demonstrate. I want to see it worked out in my life. And it is really helpful to have Timothy get this message from the primary evangelist who was dying in a prison. It reminds me, it's not about worldly things. Finish strong. Ever heard that? I'll tell you, when you get to be my age, you really do say, you know what, I want to finish strong. And then if you get faced with some other things hit you, and you say, man, I wish I would have been working on that when I was a little younger, and I had a little more energy, a little more strength, and all those. But I want to finish strong. It doesn't matter. That's my point. This passage, this book, is all about finishing strong and reminding us that the circumstances are not an excuse. Finish faithful. That's key. That's really the message of this book, by the way. Finish faithful. Stay true to the word. Keep at it. Even when you look around and it seems like, where did everyone else go? That was what Paul was saying. Everybody has departed me and I'm here alone. Except for this one man. And Timothy, I'm writing it to you. I wish we could see each other. It would have been great joy to my heart, but I have no hope that you're going to make it. Finish faithful. He says this in the fourth chapter. Notice how he responds. For this is in the same book, the fourth chapter, 6 and 7 and 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. He understood the picture here. It was an offering of it pouring over, and that was when the offering is poured out, it's done. That's it. That's what he was saying. My life has been poured out. I'm taking my last breath. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have love of his appearing. Here's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Here's what Timothy was hearing. Listen, it is greater than this life. You've got to cause this greater. I just got to finish faithful. I can look around and it may not be what I thought it should be by now, but I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to finish faithful because God has promised to reward us if we will. We don't want to be one of those that was planted in the thorns or on the hard soil that vanishes after a little joy. I want to share a YouTube clip. I haven't done much of that, have I, in the illustrations. But I saw this YouTube clip. And the thing that you need to understand, I'm going to tell you the video and then I'm going to show it to you. Because it really got to me. This young girl, high school girl, was running in a race. It was in the state championship. Apparently, she was an excellent runner, but she had already been in several other track events that day, and now they're in this cross-country meet, and she gets to the end, and she collapses. Her response to her body giving out on her so stirred the coach of the New York Giants. They sat his whole team down, and from that on, for the way the account goes, from that day forward in the practice, they listened to this video clip before every practice for the rest of the year. That was in 2011. The New York Giants had started off poorly. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. The coach said, there's something in this high school girl that none of us have. And if we want to be winners, we've got to find it. Why don't you play it? It's only 2 minutes long.
Okay, everyone, here we go. Ready to go. This is now Girls Division 5. CIF, Cross Country Championships. The gun is up. And they are away. And, you know, Rich, we've been talking all along, talking to Rich Gonzalez, who's out on our lead Gator. We've been talking all along how strong the South section is, and of course that's undeniable. But here in the Girls Division 5, we look to North Coast and San Francisco University, led by two juniors as the stars of this particular show.
The University of San Francisco, you see with a big U on their chest, the white with the red tights. An interesting backstory here. Jim Tracy, the longtime coach at the University of San Francisco, diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. Obviously, very, very unfortunate news. And this group is trying to rally around their coach, keep that winning tradition going. He's our second current twin as well, also now in the chute.
Two races left on the calendar after the finish.
And right now, Tony, we see our number two for San Francisco University now about to shoot. Their number three, who was previously number two, is now walking the last 80 meters. She is in severe duress here, trying to finish up.
This is the guts that cross country brings out in athletes.
This is very gutty here. All the way through, giving for her teammates. She's got about 30 meters to go.
9:93.
Holding together so well. Oh boy, about 5 meters. Hopefully she will get back up. This is a decision here. She gets assistance, of course.
This is
decision time. They're asking her how she's feeling.
This is cross country.
If they touch her, that would be disqualifier. So they're asking her, can you make it? And look at her. Such a courageous effort trying to cross that finish.
The crowd is giving her all they can here at the finish.
As soon as she crosses, they will scoop her up and take her to the medical tent right away.
And there she did it.
What a great effort by the athlete from San Francisco University. Once again, the team favorites here giving it all they have here in the Division 5 championship race.
Well, that's a moment we'll long remember. San Francisco University's third runner just giving her.
Here's what happened. That team was competing for the championship. And if the third runner hadn't completed, they would not win the championship. She knew that. And she finished. Now, that is clearly what God is telling us to do in our lives. Even if we've been running all along and we're a great runner, she was the one sophomore, the other two were juniors. She was trying to do her part. Her part was to finish. Listen, if you finish, we win. If you don't finish, we're done. She finished. God is counting on us in the same way. That's what Timothy was hearing from Paul. Keep your focus. Don't lose it here. It gets rough. You know, it's liable to get a lot rougher for us. It seems day by day. Would you ever have thought that our chaplains would not be allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it. We live in a country that says to our military, you can't talk about Jesus. This is really, really unbelievable. We're talking about in the last 20 years, in our lifetime, this whole environment has radically changed against Christianity. And so I'm saying to every one of us, it may get really, really rough, but keep the faith. Finish strong. He says to him, no more fear. Listen, it isn't to be found in us. We have to be courageous. We have to be bold for Christ. No fear. No more shame. I'm not going to be embarrassed about the name of Jesus. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be proud about who that God has saved me and I'm one of His. And no more regrets. I'm not going to allow the past to dictate my present. We're going forward. We're not getting hung up. No more fear. That's what he says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's not to be there. Ever been fearful? The truth is, it's a human characteristic, isn't it? You look at situations that come on us suddenly, and we start to say, whoa, what am I going to do with this? How do I manage that? I had an event happen this week. I can't give the details of it. But I'll tell you what, it was frightening. It was frightening. And you just sit there and say, okay, how can I honor God? He said, stir up the gift of God. You know what he's telling him? Remind yourself. Get excited about Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's what they were singing about. It's praising the Lord. We need to do that, to stir up our hearts, remind ourselves about the phenomenal thing that took place when we became one of His. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We have one who will never leave us nor forsake us. We can do all things through Christ. This is all things. Even when things come upon us, we say, oh no, how did this happen? How do we find ourselves here? Power, love, and a sound mind. Power to do it, even when you might not think you have it in you, but in Christ we do have the power. And a sound mind, we can think through these things. And here's the truth for us right now. You need to say, I'm going to process things through the grid of the Word of God. I am not going to get caught off guard, and I'm not going to buy into the lies of this world. I'm going to process things properly in line with Scripture. Amen? There's safety in this. And love. You know what? It is so easy to get caught up in ourselves. It is so easy to get so wound up in who we are and what we are doing that we miss the point. We are always to be an agent of Christ's love in the lives of others. Since I've already broken tradition and showed one YouTube video, here comes another.
Sometimes a simple gesture can take on a much greater meaning. That's what happened to one local runner whose show of sportsmanship echoed far beyond a track meet. Megan Vogel had just run the race of her life.
Just to be able to achieve something that you've worked all your life for, that's a really good feeling, and you can't really put it into words.
She was the 1600-meter state champion, the first girl from West Liberty, Salem, to win a track title in more than 20 years. But what people there that day will remember won't be her win, but the race in which she finished last.
It was really emotional, and people came up to us in tears, just really moved by what Megan had done.
You see, after her victory, Megan still had the 3,200 meters to run, but her emotionally draining win had taken its toll. She was just trying to finish the race when it happened.
I was coming around the turn, and it was probably, I had about 100 meters left, and she was probably about 50 meters in front of me, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, and I saw her fall.
What Megan did next not only lifted up another runner, but an entire stadium.
I just kind of didn't think twice about it. I knew I was just going to go pick her up and help her out. I mean, if you work to get to the point of the state meet, then you deserve to finish no matter who you are, and I was going to make that happen for her no matter what.
The official results show that Arden McMath from Arlington High School finished 14th in the 3,200 meters, Megan Vogel 15th. But in reality, they finished together.
Distance runners kind of have this camaraderie that they build, I mean, from running against each other for, I mean, sometimes 6 years, and you just kind of get this relationship with them and you become a family. And
after the race, the two shared something else.
So we actually ended up in the same training room together, in this bed side by side, getting fluids and trying to get rehydrated.
Megan wears her winner's medal with pride, but she doesn't need it to show she's a champion.
As a parent, you know, it just, you know, she just knocked my socks off, and what she did, and you know, her compassion, and the fact that she was just so humble about it and didn't really think it was that big of a deal is just really impressed me.
Because sometimes it's not where you finish, but how you finish. On Megan's shirt is a slogan: part speed, part stamina, all heart. It perfectly sums up the girl who found victory while finishing last.
I knew that any girl on that field would do the same for me, so I was going to do that for Arden.
And Megan tells me she plans to stay in touch with Arden. Megan will actually be a senior next year, Arden a junior, so they'll be running again next year, but I don't think they'll ever.
So here's the point. She won a medal, a state medal, as it said, for the town. It was a big deal. It was the first time in 20 years. I grew up in a little town. I know what that's like. You know, it's really a thrilling when the teams do well or an individual does well. But she is not remembered for that. She couldn't have planned that she'd run the next race and that a girl in front of her would fall down. But she had already planned to demonstrate a heart. That was her motto. And what I'm trying to say to us, God is calling us to demonstrate a heart for one another, a heart for the hurting. It's not about, well, I don't know, man, they shouldn't do that. I'm not having anything to do. No. We of all people ought to have compassion on the hurting, compassion on those that are stumbling, and do what we can to help them. She comes along and picks her up. Not only does she literally carry her all the way to the finish line, did you notice she purposely had her cross first? Keep the flame burning. You and I are supposed to be known by our love. And our love is to be not an emotional thing first and foremost, but a giving thing. Stir up that gift within you. It's not about ourselves. It's not about us. It's about us being a tool of God. And we do not know when the person around us is going to stumble. I didn't expect that person knocking on my door this week, first thing in the morning. I didn't expect it. It wasn't in my plan. But you know what? You got to decide beforehand that I'm going to respond in such a way. You get my point? No more fear, because we have a different cause. It means that you allow nothing to steal your passion for Christ, your love for the Lord, your want to identify with Him. You keep it alive. No more fear. I don't care what the world says. The world's going to hell. That's the truth. We should not fear them, because we are connected with the one who created it all and holds it all together. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God." Wow. And then it says it in 8, in 12, and in 16. It says, "Do not be ashamed. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which committed to him until that day." Why do you think Paul was saying to Timothy over and over and over and over again, Don't be ashamed. I'll tell you why. Nero was on the throne, and he was burning Christians on stakes, you know, just poles, to light up their entertainment at night. It looked really, really, you know, you're trying to figure out, I'm on the winning team. I'll tell you what, there was nothing from a human standpoint that looked like it was winning for the Christian. It was horrible times. And Paul was saying to him over and over again, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed. We need to hear that same thought. We need to be bold about our relationship with Jesus. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You want to not be ashamed? Here's the key right there. That's why I put this verse up there, for me at least. The key to not being ashamed is predetermining that I am going to please God, not man. If men are happy with what I'm doing, that's great. But if they're not, that's okay too, as long as God is pleased. I am going to focus on pleasing the Lord, and so should you. So should every one of us that knows Him. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That has to be our driving force. Yet there is tremendous pressure in this day for us all to be very sensitive to the people around us. I'm telling you, settle it. Say, no, I'm going to honor God. No matter what it is, I'm going to honor God. It means that you allow nothing to compromise your loyalty to Christ. You keep Him first. And no more regrets. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. Notice, it's talking about serving God, worshiping God. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. 2 Corinthians reminds us this truth. We praise God because of what He does in our life, what He's done in our life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, our congregation is a wonderful testimony of that. Things could be really, you know, if you take out the, you know, for some in here, you have a reasonably long rap sheet. You know, that's just the truth. But that doesn't define us. What defines us is not our past. It's our relationship with Jesus. And that has to be our motivation. That is why Paul said over here, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's an important aspect. Here's what it's saying. Not that we can't learn from the past, but it's saying, press on to the goal. Get a focus on honoring God and being everything that God wants us to be. Make that your driving energy. 2 Timothy said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me in prison, but share with me in the suffering. We should not be surprised that being a bold Christian has some pushback from a secular, godless culture. As a matter of fact, we ought to prepare ourselves, because if it isn't coming your way, it most likely is because you're not bold about your stand for Christ. According to His purpose and grace, which is given to us, we are to not be ashamed. We are to go forward. It means no more regrets. It means that you allow nothing to sabotage life today in Christ. All of those past nightmares, you say, oh man, I can't believe I was so stupid. Can't believe that that happened. I can't believe I went down that path for that long. I can't believe so many years have been wasted. You know what? Forget it and go forward. Keep your eye on the prize. And what is important is that we finish faithful. We finish strong going God's way. We're to ponder what God has done for you. Practice what God expects of you. He expects us to be in the Word. He expects us to be loving helpers to others. He expects us to be bold witnesses for the Savior. He expects us to take a stand for Him. Stand up and be accounted. And protect what God has given you. Be in the Word. Know the Word. Rightly divide the Word. Learn how to read the Word. Right? How to understand the Word. No fear. No shame. And no regrets. We're going forward for the Savior. You keep it alive. I can say this. It's been multiple decades now that I've known Jesus Christ. I regrettably recognize there are different points in that journey where I hadn't kept it as alive as I should have. You know, I kind of went into automatic pilot. And it's amazing how much time can go in that situation. Don't do it. Don't measure your zeal for the Lord based on how you feel physically. Just stir that fire up and get your love for Jesus Christ roaring fire. Make it a roaring fire and keep Him first. It's Jesus. In that, you'll have strong marriages. In that, you'll have strong homes. In that, you'll have successful lives. Because God measures success different than we do. But He blesses those that walk with Him. And keep your eye on the prize. Here's what I'm saying in that regard. Remember when Paul is closing this letter? He says, I'm an offering being poured out. I'm at the end. But then he reminds Timothy that I'm going to eternity and I'm going to be rewarded there where it really counts. Where moth and rust cannot steal your treasures.